and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Good evening. This is your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. My apologies. I had a bit of a technical problem getting into the show on my end. So, but we're on air now, so everything's good. I just got a... a message sent to me just prior to getting on air here. And where is that? Here it is here. Now this is pretty much a little freaky. This is from the Edmonton Police Services. And dedicated to protect, it says. Proud to serve, it says. And this is a story that was sent to me, and this is on the Edmonton Police site on their webpage. And it is for immediate release September 19th. Now, I hadn't run into this before, so it's a few days out. But this was Center for Immediate Release. Precedent setting charge laid against free man on the land, it says. It says the Edmonton police has arrested and charged a self-proclaimed free man on the land with intimidation of a justice system participant. That's what it says. Intimidation of a justice system participant. Now, I've been trying for some period of time, talking to different government agencies, from the premier's office, attorney general's office, the court offices, clerk's offices, trying to get someone to explain to me what this justice system is. If I could get a definition. To date, I'm batting zero. But here on the police site, it says intimidation of a justice system participant. It was reported that accused Alan Boisioli, 45, of Vegreville, Alberta, was stopped and issued a speeding ticket by a, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this line here? Ticket, he got a ticket by a community peace officer in Beaver County, Alberta, in May of 2015. Community peace officers. Well, that would be a cop, because peace officers aren't running around handing out tickets, so it had to be a cop, but it's a community cop, and a community cop is a United Nations cop, which is a communist cop. On May the 25th, 2015, the accused is alleged to have commenced a campaign of paper terrorism against the peace officer and the justice system, including but not limited to a bill of lading that held the complainant liable for $225,000 for detaining the accused and issuing the ticket. The judicial investigation was concluded August the 27th, 2016, and the accused was subsequently arrested and charged. This is the first time in Canada that law enforcement officials have laid a, in quotes, paper terrorism, unquote, charge against an individual claiming to be a free man on the land. The Edmonton Police Service will continue to robustly investigate those individuals who attempt to subvert the law, said EPS Detective Ray Gerard. Boisioli's next court appearance is scheduled for November the 7th, 2016. It says down here at the bottom, free men claim to be in opposition to government and the rule of law, and maintain that the only true law is their own interpretation of common law. Now, there's a link down here, or a phone number down here. It says, please call or contact Scott Pattison and a phone number for more information. And then below that, it says, dedicated to protect, proud to serve. Well, they're dedicated to protect, and that's correct. They are dedicated to protect the corporation, which is the Crown. And they're also proud to serve the Crown. The police, you will never see the police at a demonstration or something on the side of the people, because they don't protect the people. And they don't serve the people. They take an oath to the Queen / Crown / Corporation. And that is who they protect and serve. So I'm going to throw this in the chat. I did call the phone number, and I don't remember what that guy's name was now. And Scott. Yeah, I was talking to the Scott guy, and had a little chat with him. And he seemed to be a little bit on the run there. And he told me that this is all kinds of information out in videos and that now on this particular thing. And those videos would better explain what's going on than he could, even though you're supposed to contact him. And this particular story is on the Edmonton Police website. But Scott, who works for the Edmonton Police, who you're supposed to call, didn't think he had the capacity to answer much or anything about what was written there. So I'm going to throw this in. Feel absolutely, you know, feel free to give Scott a call if you have some questions for him. Seems like a decent gentleman. Of course, he knows nothing about anything, but that's beside the point. But he's an easy guy to talk to. So if you wish, I will put this into the chat, and you can give Scott a call. Anyways, I was spent a lot of the time on the phone today with the Owen Sound Courthouse, and that was a little ludicrous with the clerk's office there. I got a call from someone this morning, Enos Martin, who was tangled up with the Michael Schmidt raid, and they, at the last court case last Friday, Enos and Robert, who works at the farm, Robert does, not Enos, he's got his own farm, those two gentlemen, their cases were completely dismissed because Crown said they didn't have enough to bring it forward. Well, this is about a year into this nonsense, and they did offer both Robert and Michael, not Michael, but they, I think they offered it Michael too, and Robert, that if they pleaded guilty, they would discharge it or something. And all of them told the court to shove it. So in this last case, Enos was, the charges were dropped. So Enos called me this morning because he said he went by the courthouse on his way out of town today, and he saw quite a contingent of Mennonites there. And he couldn't figure out why there were so many Mennonites there. And I said, well, when I was in court last, there was Mennonite there. They seem to be picking on everybody now. Even Mennonites aren't safe from these clowns. And so he asked me if I get a hold of court docket and see who these Mennonites were. So I did get the court docket online, and I didn't see a lot of anything that reminded me of Mennonite names. So I got a hold of Enos and told him if there was a name I was looking for. Now, what's really ridiculous about this is the courthouse. I don't know how. I'm just going to check this out quickly. I got the court docket here, still up, I think. And I was astounded by the number of names, the daily court lists. Now, except for, I think, what we got here? There's got to be, there's 102. That's two of them. Three, four of them. So out of well over 100 people on the docket today, only four of those are in court 102. The rest of them are in 101. Now, I have no clue. I'm sure there was an awful lot of people that sat in court all freaking day that never got to the end of this list. I don't know how many's on here, but it's long. So anyways, we're down through the list, and we came up with a name. Where did that guy get to? We're going through this list anyways, and he was looking for what would remind him of a Mennonite name, And so we got down near the bottom here, and there's a guy named Malem Weber. And he says, yeah, I know a guy by that name. He's a Mennonite. So I tell Enos, I said, well, according to this, he's got two charges against him. But it doesn't tell you what the charges are. You know, it's take a plea, first appearance to be spoken to, and his two are first appearance. So I said, well, I'll just call the courthouse and I'll find out what the charges are. Well, I think I made a total of about 10 phone calls to the clerk's office there, and I got the most ridiculous excuses. And then finally, somebody said to me, so we can't give the information. And I go, why not? It's public information. If I was at the courthouse, it's public information. And they said, well, there's a publication ban on this case. And I said, well, that's a publication ban. That's totally different. Okay, publication ban, I can't publish what takes place in the courtroom on this particular case. But the charges are absolutely public. So they didn't want to give them to me. They kept hanging up. I kept calling. Then when their supervisors were supposed to call me, of course, he didn't call me. And then this little Steve guy, the manager of the clerk's office, is a little redheaded doofus that anybody that's run into this guy knows he's a major piece of work. So, you know, I've been listening to all these excuses. And I don't know if you people talk to courthouses or clerk's offices much, or even government offices that much, but you really do need to get a handle, or at least understanding how pathetic this is getting. If you ask them a question, they don't want to answer it, and you push them on it a little bit, you'll usually get, well, now I don't feel comfortable, and I don't like your tone, and I'm going to hang up. Yeah, really, I'm serious. And so the end of this they're going to get, they keep putting me over. As soon as they hear my voice, they put me over to the manager, Steve, but of course you only ever get a voice message. And so I would call back and tell them not to do that. I just want the names and get them for me. And so finally near the end there, Steve comes on. And they keep telling me, well, he's not available. And then all of a sudden he's available. And he gets on the phone and he starts this nonsense, okay? Because we're all mentally ill, right? This is another part of the community policing deal, right? So Steve, the manager of the clerk's office, gets on the phone and he starts this shit. I go, yeah, Steve, is that you? How are you doing? And he starts this, are you okay? Do you feel okay? Are you okay? Right? This is bizarro world. Okay? And I explained to him, oh yeah, I'm fine, but you sound like you're in kindergarten. And you know, let's just talk like a pair of men here instead of children. And I told him, I said, look, you give me the names, you give me some other nonsense that he can't give him because you have to sign or be aware of a caution that you get indicating that this particular case has a publication ban on it. I said, I get all that stuff, right? Okay, I don't need to have a caution. I have no intentions of publishing what's gone on in the court because I wasn't in the frickin' court to find out what actually went on. So therefore, I have nothing to publish. And the accused name is public, so give it over. Well, he still ain't giving it over. So I'll just call the Attorney General's office and he can deal with you because I'm tired of it. And so I did. I called the Attorney General's office and talking to a guy by the name of Ben there, seemed like a decent guy. And so his job is now, told Ben, I says, you call the Walkerton clerk's office and you tell them that you want the name of that accused and you best hand it over. And then either they will send it to me or the Attorney General's office will fork it over. But this is like playing cat and mouse all the time, and this is not your government, okay? And most people listening to the show already know that, but this is not your government. Your government is supposed to serve the people. Your government is accountable to the people. Your government is supposed to be responsible for their actions. And they're not. They've made us the responsible party, and that's why they can keep putting the boot on you or keep playing cat and mouse with you and all this kind of nonsense. So, I'm going to put this in the chat too, because if you can explain to me how one judge is supposed to go through this many people in the course of one day, I would like to know how they go about doing it. This is one ass and long list. And I think only four of those at the court today are in a different room. All of the rest of them are in room 101. It's beyond asinine. But then most things in Canada are becoming extraordinarily asinine. Now, I'm going to just try. I can't find no reference anyways to this Edmonton thing. So I'm just going to do a quick check here and see if I can find it. See if we can dig this out, because according to Scott over there, the Edmonton Police... No, here we got something. CBC Live, one day ago. Man charged with paper terrorism in Canada First, Toronto Star. I don't know how I missed this. Edmonton City Police charged Freeman and Land with paper terrorism. Freeman and Land movement. Let's see. We're going to look at this stuff. CBC. All right, let's see what this is. CBC Edmonton. This is going to probably be the same damn story that was on the... Now, I never heard of this guy. I know some people in Alberta, in Edmonton, in fact, who have been getting harassed by the police for some period of time. Their houses have been broken into. Their vehicles have been stolen. They've been beat up, harassed, jailed. And they haven't done anything wrong. They haven't done anything to anybody. And I'm not, by any indication, a supporter of this free man movement. I called it a fraud when it first came out. I continue to call it a fraud. I believe it is something that's being used to help move international law into place. So when you look at this closely, it has all the markings of a setup. Okay, let's see if this says anything different. Okay, there's a YouTube here of 2015 when he got pulled over. Okay, here we go. Let's try this story here. I may have to phone this guy, Detective Rennie Array Girard. He says that free men on the land are incredibly difficult to deal with. I can imagine, because they're telling you things that you don't know and you ought to know, and they are a threat to your judicial system. But let's see what this guy got to say. Free men claim to be in opposition to government and the rule of law, and maintain that the only true law is their own interpretation of common law, police said in a statement. Girard said that ideology makes them incredibly difficult to deal with, both for officers at the roadside, for example, or within the justice system itself. The free man ideology is that they don't recognize any kind of government powers, licensing, or authority, so they don't hold driver's license or they won't hold insurance for the vehicle, said Girard. He described the group as loosely organized and estimated there are about 30,000 so-called free men across Canada. He said paper terrorism isn't an official charge, but rather a term used to describe how the free men attempt to dissuade the courts and other people from suing them by inundating them with this false paperwork. Well, it's no more false than the court's paperwork. So, you know, cover paper covers paper now, I guess. Beozley has been charged under Section 4231, bracket 1 of the Criminal Code. The maximum penalty for that offense is a prison term of up to, are you ready for this? Are you freaking ready for this? A prison term of up to 14 years. Are you ready for that? So someone that's sparring with the police with paper, which is, I don't know if the police and the courts don't understand it, but that's what they deal in. So these people are dealing in the same realm as they are, and they're countering the paper with paper. And the judiciary doesn't like it, nor do the police. They just want to have their way. You are to submit. Period. So, we had a cop here a few years ago kill a kid on a bus or a streetcar or whatever in Toronto, 9 shots. Kid wasn't really a threat to anybody. And so the cop killed him twice, I guess. No, the first time he killed him, the second time he attempted to kill him. This is the judicial system. He didn't murder the kid. He felt threatened. That gave him the right, I suppose, to shoot the kid. And then just to make sure the kid was dead, he shot him a bunch more times after the kid was already dead. So it wasn't attempted murder. It was murder, but they switched this around, and they charged him with attempted murder, even though the kid was dead. And for his actions, the officer received a penalty of 6 years, appealed immediately, spent less than 24 hours in the jail cell, and he's out. But dare you counter their paper with your paper, you could do 14 years in jail. Because it's not that you killed some kid on a bus that really wasn't any threat to anybody. I mean, if I had been at the bus myself without a weapon, I could easily brought that to a peaceful conclusion. All the kid wanted to do was call his dad. Now, that would have been easy to facilitate. He had a freaking pocket knife. He wasn't a very big kid. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't have had too much trouble dealing with the situation. And the kid would be alive today. But this is the judicial system that can't be threatened. And so you could get apparently 14 years in jail if you paper over their paper, I guess you would call it. It says here, quote, "We've tolerated the free man and the sovereign citizens to a certain extent," he said, "and now that level of tolerance has come to an end. We want to make it clear that if people are going to continue engaging in this type of behavior, then we are going to robustly investigate and bring these people to court." A vexatious litigant, it says. Girard said this isn't the first time the Boisioli has faced an intimidation charge, who is from Vegreville, Alberta, about 100 kilometers east of Edmonton, was charged in 2012 with intimidating and harassing a Crown prosecutor. John Rourke. Now, this is interesting for you, though, Don. John Rourke, Associate Chief Justice of the Alberta Court of Queen's Bench, issued an order in 2015 declaring Boglioli a vexatious litigant, which restricted his right to commerce and to continue legal actions in Alberta. Now, I encourage, if you haven't read the John Rourke opinion, I encourage everyone to do so. This is the clown that got this started. Not surprising, it says, free men on the land have become a challenge for law enforcement agencies and the courts in Canada, said Ron Usher, a lawyer for an organization that represents 340 BC notary publics. They are so intense, is the quote. They're just so intense, so paper-driven, so living in an alternate universe, said Usher. Jesus H, eh? So when they are confronted with the realities of our Canadian law and our social structures, it becomes very complex for the system. Often these people pass over vast mountains of nonsense paper. And what is it the judges and the lawyers operate in? Legalese. Okay? And what is legalese? Legalese is a jargon. A jargon to deceive and gain an upper hand. And what is legalese to everyone but lawyers? It is a mountain of nonsense paper. So I guess we're kind of even there. Usher said confrontations between his members and self-described free men on the land are not uncommon. These people do get their day in court, but it ultimately tries the patience of even the most patient people in the system. One of these mythologies is around the particular role of notary. So they spend a great deal of time trying to get notaries to try and witness these completely unusable documents, and this would lead to confrontations. Freaking ridiculous. Absolutely freaking ridiculous. I would imagine all the other stories are the same. Now, that was the one I read you. Oh, that was CBC. Well, that's a left wing. And so let's go to the Toronto, or the Edmonton Sun, which is right wing. Two different boots attached to the same legal body. So what has this thing got to say? Is it the same story, or somebody got some different news about Okay, let me see here. Edmonton police say they are sending a message to people who attempt to use paper terrorism to subvert the justice system by laying a precedent-setting charge against a self-proclaimed free man on the land. We got anything? They use documents which really mean absolutely nothing. They're just cutting and pasting from all over the internet, from all over the world. Well, they're not really doing any different than the judges and the crowns. They cut and paste decisions from all over the internet and all around the world. So they're really not much different, the two groups. They're pretty much the same. They put them together in hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents and flood the courts with this, just in an effort to overwhelm the courts and confuse people, Girard said. Well, wait a minute. Legalese, again, is jargon, which is a language that is used to confuse, deceive, and get an upper hand. So what exactly is the difference here? They don't like a challenge is what they don't like. You're just to be subservient. You are a property of the crown, after all. And we don't like uppity slaves here on the plantation. So instead of 14 bull whips across your back, you're going to get 14 years in the can. What makes this charged precedent setting, Gerard said, is this the very first time police in Canada have been able to pin a charge, pin it. Pin one piece of paper to another piece of paper. To a free man based on the practice of trying to overwhelm and intimidate the legal system with filings. Gerard said Bajolis was arrested. Let's see, he said so far has not accepted the charge and has not retained a lawyer. Gerard said he would not be surprised if Bajoli attempts to subvert the legal process during his own criminal trial, but said that will be up to the justice system to manage. Let's see here. The lengthy and scathing decisions by Court Queen's Bench Associate Chief Justice John Roque restricts Bajolio or whatever from filing continuing actions in all Alberta courts. The restrictions this court places on Bajoli's ability to access Alberta courts are unusual and strict. Bajoli's history and his current attempt to misuse court procedure to further a criminal enterprise warrants this intervention, said Rook in a written decision. According to the decision, Bajoli tried to enter a default judgment using his own forms rather than the standard court-supplied ones while attempting to get out of paying a speeding ticket by claiming the province and the peace officer who issued that ticket owed him a debt. Now, we do have, from Ontario here, we do have a recording of the head of security for the Attorney General's office stating specifically that you do not require a driver's license in Ontario. Now, this guy who is the head of Jim Macris, who is the head of security for the Attorney General's office, was also a Toronto City police officer's under Fantino at the time. Now, Fantino is one of these globalist dicks. He was the chief of police, and he is he's a puppet for the globalist police. Let's see what else I got on this particular subject. Rook goes on to describe his pseudo legal attempt to get a default judgment as rubbish and spurious, and called letters he sent as part of his scheme as nothing more than an irrelevant monologue shouted at a brick wall. Now, pseudo legal, okay, they're running on pseudo law. The legal is pseudo law. Okay, this is what blows me away. Do these people not know what they're doing? I'm talking about the justice system, as Chris likes to call it. And he's got me calling it that all the time now. So, you know, if we just go and so that I know I'm correct here and just get a quick boo at this. And not genuine, a sham, bogus, sham, phony, artificial, mock, quasi, fake, false, spurious, deceptive, misleading, assumed, contrived, affected, insincere, is exactly what the legal system is. That describes the legal system. Because the legal system is not law. It is color of law, which makes it phony, a sham, bogus, artificial, mock, quasi-fake, false, spurious, deceptive, misleading, assumed, contrived, affected, insincere, informal, pretend, put on. That is the legal system. It's pretend law. So for this idiot, and I call him an idiot, who calls this Rourke, the judge, goes on to describe the pseudo-legal attempt to get a default judgment as rubbish and spurious, and called the letters he sent as part of his scheme nothing more than irrelevant monologue shouted at a brick wall. Well, of course you're shouting it at a brick wall, because this legal system is a brick wall. But it's also fake. It's put on. It's a play. It certainly isn't real. The description of it is color of, similar to, like, but not law. So Rourke here needs to go and study a bit. So he does. Rourke also notes that Bajolia has previously been jailed for criminal intimidation and harassment for targeting government workers, and he has repeatedly received judicial rulings that his schemes were invalid and frivolous. His criminal misconduct is far from trivial. Rourke also noted that it appears that Boisioli was assisted by Edmonton notary Edward J. Powell, and said he is deeply disturbed to see that a notary public had participated in an allegedly criminal enterprise. In 2012, Rourke issued a decision that gained national prominence, in which he exposed a group he called organized pseudo-legal commercial argument litigants. In Meads versus Meads, Rourke notes that the group called themselves various names such as detaxers, free men, sovereign men, and Church of the Ecumenical Redemption International, which of which Robin, who I've known for years, is I believe he started at maybe. They just had him in jail not too long ago, and base their activities on a common collection of conspiratorial, legally incorrect, and spurious beliefs. A summary states the OPCA litigants deny they have obligations to honor government courts, contracts, and laws, and declare themselves exempt from being governed, paying taxes, or having motor vehicle licenses or insurances. Now, the interesting part about the license, the driver's license, okay? Now, this is how they always swap shit around. The first driver's license ever was issued to Carl Benz of Mercedes-Benz. Now, Carl made a contraption that had a diesel engine in it, and he'd been driving it around, and it was causing all kinds of harm to people. People were getting ready to sue Carl's ass, because you see, in law, you can't cause harm. Now, according to the research, Carl wanted to keep doing this as he tried to perfect his contraption that we now call an automobile. And it was noisy, it was smelly, it was scaring people's animals, it was scaring the children, It was stinking up the clothes on the clotheslines. It was just, Carl was just being a damn nuisance is what he was. And the people asked him not to do it. Carl, don't do this. You're driving us nuts. You're making you're scaring the animals, and you're messing up the clothes on. You're stinking up the neighborhood there, Carl. So stop it. If you want to play with that dumbass contraption, take it somewhere you're not going to bother anybody, please and thank you very much. But Carl, probably being fairly young and bred, probably pretty brash, and he was all wanting to show everybody his new contraption, and he disregarded the fact that he was driving everybody nuts and causing harm. The people then threatened to sue Carl because he was causing harm. Now, Carl, he goes to whoever, the boss, the king, whoever the hell it was, probably spun him off a line that, you know, this is going to be the greatest, latest new thing. It's going to be worth a lot of money to the coffers of the king or whoever. And, you know, I got to keep practicing with this thing and working it out. But they're going to sue me. So how are we going to get around that? Well, Carl was issued a license. And what did that license offer Carl? That license allowed Carl to break the law. The law, not the legal, the law. So what we have now, we have to get a license because they made not breaking the law, of which Carl was doing by causing harm to people, okay, what they've done is they've made it illegal to operate a motor vehicle, and it's got nothing to do with harm. They just totally flipped that around. So they moved law over to legal. So the judicial system is pseudo law. Now, when they say that these people are acting, or their attempts to paper the paper are pseudo legal, no, they're not pseudo legal. They're actually law, okay? Because law is the opposite of legal. So it is not those who are trying to bring the law forward. It is the legal system that is outside the law. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, I've been through that with a lawyer at the Attorney General's office. What is law? Laws do no harm. Can we agree on that? Yes, says the lawyer. Fine. Then name me one thing that has come through the legislature that was not designed, in fact, to cause harm. By taking away your God-given rights, by forcing money out of your labor, out of your pocket, to give to the so-called government, and fines and so forth, and restrictions and all this kind of stuff. Name me one. So in the end, we agreed that the legal system is actually outlawry because it's actually standing outside the law. It is the fake. Not the law is not fake. The legal's fake. But there's a lot of money in it. And they don't like being challenged. The only thing I really don't like about the free man thing is that They're either it's a really confused mess here. You have, there says in here, where does it say that here? It says sovereign citizens or whatever. You can't be sovereign and be a citizen. A citizen's a slave of a fake legal system. You know, and I get these people. I listen to a lot of Rob Menard and Dean Clifford and that, and they're bouncing around so bad. They're a cross between, they use the Bible and then they use the New Age. It's like using law and mixing law and legal. You cannot mix those two. They are They are opposites. They're like oil and water. Okay? You can't mix those two together and come to an intelligent conclusion. But that's what these free men, I noticed way off in the beginning, were doing. And either they're putting themselves off as knowledgeable and intelligent, but then they mix these two unmixable quantities together, and it makes no sense. It can't be done. So I've never had any faith in their movement. I do appreciate the fact that they're attempting to bring law forward, but they're going about it completely freaking wrong. And hopefully, now we have Rob Menard. Now we got Rob Menard offering to help people in the legal system, using the legal system. Wait a minute, Robert. I thought we didn't need the legal system. I thought the legal system was all a fraud, according to you. And now you're offering to help people in the legal system, because somehow now you went from a guru of freedom to a guru of using the legal system. And this is the same thing. This is that mixing. This is that deception. Okay? And as far as I'm concerned, most of these guys are either incredibly stupid, or they're playing some part. And when I look at this, and they're trying to bring in international law, international policing, I see this free man movement as a way to show that we need stronger global laws in order to deal with this sort of thing. That's what I've always seen from the free man movement. Now, with the ecumenical movement, that's Robert, that's Minister Robin. Now, he has been staying with the scripture, or the King James Bible, because that's the Bible that Elizabeth took an oath on, which she had to take the oath before she could become queen. Now, it's like they tossed that oath out the window. And Robin's been very adamant about this, and he's taken his licks, and he's been thrown in jail. But we live under tyranny. It's that simple. This is a tyrannical system. The legal system, by definition, is tyrannical, and I'll tell you why. Elizabeth took the oath to uphold the law, as per the King James Bible, and that law is, do not add to or take away from my word. Okay, which is the law. Now, she took that oath in order to elevate herself to the statute of queen, which was set up as, according to these guys, this divine right of kings nonsense, as being proxy of Christ. Same thing as the Pope is vicar of Christ. And the idea was that in order to have some sort of a government, that they would abide by the law set down by the Creator. If and when they move away from that law, i.e., take away or add to, then they have broken their oath. And they do not, at that time or for any time thereafter, have the right, the capacity, the authority to rule, and that they have slid into being tyrannical. And what does a tyrant need? He needs force. And what do we have in this country and everywhere else? We have the color and force of law. So it's tyrannical. It is not law. It is the exact opposite of law. And so anything we can do to stir this up and bring this to the attention of people works for me. I'm just not 100% sure that a lot of these guys really, you know, the internet is full of New Age shit. Well, the New Age shit is the UN shit. So if you want to be a free man, the last thing you want to involve yourself in is the United Nations. Now, I see some of these so-called free men now using the international law to try to circumvent these laws. So you know they're one of two things. They're either a player or they're stupid. And they come across as they're fairly intelligent, so I don't believe they could possibly be as stupid as they actually are in their actions. So I put them down as players. And I think that will be found in the long run that I'm correct on that. Having said that, though, it is absolutely, unequivocally, of the utmost importance that we get back to law. So what they've done through this is that they're basically saying that we're the tyrants, and if you challenge us, we will throw you in jail for 14 years. Is basically what they're saying. Now we have to overcome that. And of course we will. I have no doubt in my mind that we will win in the long run. Each of these things is a good thing. Now, we're going to have to challenge this nonsense that's going on here in the court now, because it's completely illegitimate. This Rourke opinion is completely illegitimate. When we went to court, falsely arrested, dragged through court for 14 months, three-day trial, charges never brought forward, really. And the number of police and high-level police and high-level security from the Attorney General's office that attended that little trial, which was nothing more than a misdemeanor trespass, of which it wasn't a trespass. The intimidation was just amazing. It was funnier than hell. You had to be there to appreciate it. It was a freaking freak show. And when we were in the court, the Crown Attorney actually had a copy of Meads versus Meads, the Rourke opinion, sitting on the tables in the court, indicating that they had somehow labeled us as free men on the land or sovereign citizens or something else, which nothing could be further from the truth. So anytime now that the courts are challenged, they just will bring this forward. So that's not good. But we will tear this apart and we will shove it up their ass and be done with it. But we will win this. But if you haven't read the Meads versus Meads decision, that's M-E-A-D-S, Meads versus Meads decision, maybe I can find it, but I think we're out of time. I'll try and get it here and chuck it in the chat. We will be back Saturday night on Revolution Radio from 10 till midnight, and then on Sunday morning or Sunday at noon back here on UCY.TV. We're under attack, folks. It is a third world war. It's a spiritual, psychological war, and we better wake up and put this nonsense down before it puts us all down, because that's their plan. And I have fine. So everybody, take care. And
buying time, killing people, vexing life, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for them more, they shoot.